The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alan Ellis. And
good morning, everybody. Me.
Robin chimed right in. Good morning. This is Robin sitting beside me. She got a good night's sleep. Up until about.
Don't push it.
Well, never mind then. All right. Well, anyway, Robin's here in her normal chipper self. And we have, we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and sometimes that world takes us into the world of politics and its impact on the way we do things. We're, you know, by regulations or bag limits or, you know, seasons, price of licenses, that types of thing. And all that is handled at the Puzzle Palace called Annapolis and the Maryland General Assembly. So the 2021 Maryland General Assembly has just adjourned as of midnight Monday. It's called Sine Die. And as a wrap-up and a explanation of what happened to those bills that affected hunters and anglers, we have with us two guests this morning. We have the founder of Hunters of Maryland, Steve Keithley, and we have their advocate who does the behind-the-scenes and direct work with our elected officials, lawmakers in Annapolis. So I want to recognize those guys. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Alan and Robin. How you guys?
Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Alan and Robin.
Hey, Bill.
There we go. Okay, so they're here, and these guys are embattled, or in the middle of the battle for 90 days and beyond when it comes to our lawmakers and that type of thing in Maryland. So, Steve, how about giving us a little background on Hunters of Maryland?
Well, Hunters of Maryland is only a year and 3 months old, I guess, something like that.
Okay.
The epiphany concept of maybe putting something together in a self-funded fashion as a transition organization from your previously successful MHC, Maryland Hunting Coalition organization, Alan, which I always when I have these discussions with people, I always I know you get all embarrassed over it, but I always like to give you credit for kind of getting the freight train headed in the right direction. And through your organization, MHC, I met Bill Miles and many other folks that I've always been connected to some degree in the hunting community. And Bill and I discussed it. Bill and I talked about it informally a few times over a couple of adult beverages and whatnot. And then we folded Alan Ellis into this to discuss possibly a transition organization from MHC to another type of organization with a privately funded type of structure. And I'd always felt, Alan and Robin, that Maryland is a pretty prosperous state, and I always felt there had to be 15 to 20 hunters that were probably of my kind of age group, had a successful business career and maybe could write checks every year to help fund lobbying efforts in Annapolis. I always felt that was possible in our state. And through my various contacts over the many, many years, started that in early 2020. Started contacting some folks, several of which supported MHC, that you know very well, Alan. And it took off. We're still a little bit short of partners. We've got 9 partners right now that have verbally committed to $5,000 annually to help us fund the various aspects of what we need to accomplish. We have 8 individuals right now. One organization that recently joined our efforts back in February, I think, and that was MBS, Maryland Bowhunter Society.
Right.
They came on board. Bill and I got together with them back in February for a 3-hour get together and talked about all sorts of things. So bottom line is we've got 9 right now. I would like to see us maybe at 15 to 20 ultimately partners.
Sure.
15 to 20 partners. That would give us, I like to tell people I kind of break our funding and our financing down into 3 different phases. One, obviously, Bill Miles is a very talented and well-known lobbyist in Annapolis, and it's what he does. It's his profession, and we pay him for that. And so the first aspect of our what I call a 3-phase funding type of thing is to get Bill Miles paid for annually. And the second phase, I like to say, is for campaign contributions.
Right.
We have the lawmakers that are vital to what we're trying to push through, support, fight, whatever. And in the wonderful world of politics, campaign contributions are kind of part of that, and it's what we have to do. Secondly, once COVID gets out of here, we like to host some events.
Sure. Steve, not to interrupt you, but there is a gentleman on the line that would like to chime in here. I think you might know him.
Okay. Bring him on.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Senator Jack Bailey from Southern Maryland, and he is the Senate chair of, well, Steve and Bill, why don't you guys introduce him?
Jack, I thought you were turkey hunting this morning, or going to be turkey hunting with the kids, I think, right?
So my daughter and I are en route right now in the truck. We have about 10 minutes. She rolled her eyes this morning. I said, hey, I've got to get on the telephone. See your dad. It's 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about hunting real quick. Because what we always talk about.
Well, Bill and I appreciate the effort. Bill and I appreciate the effort to get on here. So go ahead and say your piece, buddy.
So I just wanted to say that just for to Alan and all your listeners out there this morning, that we are so appreciative in Annapolis of the Hunters Maryland. They really do. They're a good voice for us. They support us. They let us know where the outdoors community is, where they stand, and they help us. Now, I've got to tell you, it's a big educational process because there's only, you know, out of the Senate and the House, there's only a few of us that enjoy the outdoors for the hunting sports. 4 of us enjoy it from the fishing aspect. But working with education and trying to help them, I know these guys are going to talk about the hunting and fishing rights bill that we got passed this year, but we got it passed bipartisanly, and it was based on a lot of the work. There's 4 of us who worked very diligently, Katie Hester and Ned Carey and Wendell Beitzel and I. The 4 of us worked together, and I was just so proud of the support we had. Not only were we the one making the call, but then I was turning around and walking by other legislators, and they were like, man, Bill Miles called us again this morning. And we got more letters you know, about this. We're gonna let this legislation. Everybody is going to give a fresh look at this legislation. I was just so proud that we were able to not only move the mark but get it across the finish line. You know, there's a lot of other legislation. I feel really disappointed that we didn't get some of the other hunting, the Sunday hunting legislation through, because that really is what affects children and people new to the sport. Because just like if it hadn't have been for my daughter getting her COVID shot today, she'd have had sports with the high school, and so she wouldn't have been able to hunt today. The only day she would have been able to hunt is on Sunday. And so so that Sunday hunting is really important, and we're going to try to obviously that's going to be one of the big issues that we push throughout this year to try to make sure, because we had the bills crossed over. We just had a issue getting them out of the one committee, but we will I've already met with that chairman just about that, and he said that we would not have that issue next year. I thought it was important to meet with him while everything was still fresh. So so I actually met with him at 3 o'clock in the morning after Cyanide died, just to find out what I needed to do to make sure that could happen next year. So we are we're going to continue to push and to make sure that we are doing what we can for the hunters of Maryland, because it is such an enjoyable activity and sport that it is something that that we all enjoy.
Senator Bailey, you're with your daughter this morning, and it is youth or junior hunter day for wild turkey, wild spring gobblers. Youth are in Maryland are considered 16 years of age and younger. Once they achieve their 16th or 17th birthday, they're no longer considered a youth hunter. But I think we owe a debt of gratitude to the hunters of Maryland and Bill Miles for preventing legislation to pass that would restrict the possession of firearms by junior hunters, anybody under the age of 18.
There is no doubt that that was really scary legislation. Very fortunately for me, that legislation actually would have come through the JPR committee in the Senate. And I worked very diligently with the chairman in that committee and explaining to him just about, looking at a day in the life of my family. And that is something that really would have been a significant issue to all the hunters in Maryland. And I think when they were looking at it, they were only looking at it being in downtown Baltimore City. And all of a sudden, when they started looking at it outside, and we were ready to educate them about it, then they took a different look at it. And very fortunately, that never left committee.
Right, exactly. That bill never left committee, but it was certainly amended to protect our youth hunters for sure. I've known Bill Miles since 2003, and Bill has always said the same thing to me. When we get to Annapolis, just what you said, very few of the lawmakers are hunters and anglers. And the mindset in Annapolis is an urban mindset. And the rest of us out here in the hinterlands of Maryland, out in the country and rural Maryland that, you know, enjoy the great outdoors, we're kind of, you know, we kind of take a back seat to all the other issues. And not just a back seat, maybe back row. So, you know, the Sportsman's Caucus and Hunters of Maryland, I give it all the credit to these guys in the world. So,
one last question I'd like to ask Jack to restate. How many on the Senate side in Annapolis, how many hunt, Jack?
Out of the 47 of us, there's only one, and that you're talking to him.
Yeah, and that let that sink in to everyone out there. Jack told us that we did a waterfowl hunt back in January with me and Bill Miles and Jack and a few other HOM folks, and we were sitting around a breakfast table, and Jack said, on the Senate side, the only one that hunts is yours truly, Jack Bailey. So
wow.
Hunters, I don't know how many hunters are very aware of that, But that's a scary thought.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jack, what's your daughter's name?
I will tell you is when our legislation passed this year, the minute it passed, I got a text message from Katie Hester, and she said, at this time next year, you won't be the only one, because I will have hunted with you. So we're gonna work on legislators one at a time, and I know that just a couple of them through life events, several of the legislators are in HQL classes right now, so they are becoming more familiar with the shooting sport. I will say Mike Huff, who's a huge supporter of hunting. Both of his children, they're just little youngsters, but they're both shooting skeet and trap.
Wow.
So I would say this, if getting out there, educating your coworkers, really, there's a big boost. And if next year we can have three or four people on the Senate floor that have hunting licenses, each one really moves the bar.
Yep. Well, Senator Bailey and I, last year, sometime last spring, like pre-COVID, we had a discussion and had a brainstorm of trying to do a hunter safety course just for the caucus members. And we had it all figured out. We had a place to shoot up in Annapolis. We were going to do a cookout or barbecue or something afterwards and get a lot of these legislators signed up for hunter safety. And, of course, COVID hit and it all fell apart. So we got to keep that thought alive, Jack.
Senator Bailey, I'm sorry to interrupt. Bill asked what your daughter's name was.
Her name is Helen.
Helen, I hope you have a great day today. I think Bill wanted to say something to you.
Yeah, Helen, I just want you to know that without your father, the Honorable Jack Bailey, from District 29, which is Calvert and St. Mary's, the hunters of Maryland would be behind the eight ball more than anybody will ever realize. The senator and I work side by side, arm in arm, all session on some very controversial issues. And if it wasn't for your father, trust me, some of the things that I'm going to be talking about right now would not have happened. I just wish we had more of your fathers in the General Assembly. And I want you to be very proud of him, because he is truly a champion in the halls of Annapolis for the hunters of Maryland.
Thank you.
Well said.
Thanks a lot, Bill. So, listen, we're getting ready to pull into this farm. So we've got a long walk this morning, and I would love to stay and chat. But if by chance, we can hunt just a few minutes after 6 this morning, if it happens while the show is still on, I will grab the call, and we will grab the phone, and we'll call in to you.
That works great.
Great. Helen, good luck today.
Good luck, you guys.
Helen, are you still in school?
Yes.
What grade?
I'm a junior.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's great to know that you hunt. You have a super day, okay?
That's the picture, Jack, if you're successful.
Not just to shortchange my son, my dad, who we met early this morning, my dad is taking my son, and he is 13. He's a seventh grader. His name is Taft. And so they're hunting on our home farm.
What's his name?
Taft, T-A-F-T.
Well, Taft, if you're listening, I wish you luck too, okay?
All right. Senator, thank you so much. Get in the woods. I hope you guys get a big gobbler today. That'd be magnificent. So.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Steve and Bill, gentlemen, Steve, do you want to talk a little bit more about the beginning, or you want me to go to my commercial break, my first one?
You can go to your first commercial, and I'll just add a couple of thoughts before Bill gets on there.
That sounds good. Well, I don't know how long you guys can stay. I hope you can both stay, for the entire show, because there's a lot to cover, that's for sure. So
that's the game plan, Alan.
That's wonderful. I can't wait. So our longtime sponsor, Clyde Sport Shop, is a firearms dealer. Handles rifles, pistols, and shotguns, of course. But I'd like to tell you, since the emphasis on autoloader firearms seems to be very heated. These are some autoloader firearms that you can purchase for your hunting purposes. And the first one is the A5 pump. Autoloader. I keep saying it. Autoloader shotgun from Browning. It's the humpback version, just like your grandfather's, the most reliable, it's fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil operated autoloader on the planet. Comes in 3 or 3.5 inch chambers, 12 gauge, 100,000 rounds, or 5 year guarantee. That's the A5 from Browning. Great for waterfowl. Maybe as good or better for waterfowl is the Maxxis shotgun. An autoloader shotgun built for waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers and the new power drive gas system reduces recoil. Both of these come in mossy oak camo. Then on the rifle side, the Browning BAR Mark III Hell's Canyon Speed is a Cerakote finish, burnt bronze, Urban Arrow camo. Composite shim adjustable stock with an inflex recoil pad, and it comes in a large variety of calibers, including Magnum and short Magnum calibers. So take a look when you go to Clyde Sports Shop, your full line Browning dealer, at these fine Browning firearms. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. So we've had some great weather and more ahead. Spring has sprung. You've put it off long enough. Time to get out there in your backyard and get the backyard set up for entertaining family and friends with crab feasts and family reunions and picnics and that type of thing. And Backyard Billy's on Kent Island is your go-to place for making backyards fun. They have a giant, enormous, huge selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, tables and chairs, especially those very popular Adirondack chairs. You can see all that from Route 50 at Exit 44 in Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Now, inside Backyard Billy's huge showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger and Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe. There's a giant assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings and freestanding deck umbrellas. Browse the great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle, theme, and budget. And Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBillies.com. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week. Route 50, Exit 44 near Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look great. We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, the weekend underway and some good-looking weather here across the Mid-Atlantic. Big upper-level low to our northeast, leaving the northeast coast. Brought some snows to parts of New England last night. Mostly cloudy for us today, high 63, low 45. Sunshine Sunday, Monday with upper 60s near 70 degrees. Tuesday up to 72 with sunshine. And then another shot of colder air coming in long range Thursday, Friday for the upcoming week. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We all want clean water, and that pond on your family's property really needs cleans. Vegetation has overtaken it, and sediment is slowly filling it in. You know, something needs to be done, and you have questions. What chemicals can I use? Will the fish die? Do I have to hire some guy with a backhoe? How expensive will it be? Legacy Waters Environmental Services has the answers. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive with no need to restock, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. Gone. The best part is Legacy Waters Environmental Services is committed to providing affordable solutions which will revitalize your pond. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint and to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Line-X bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Line-X bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Line-X is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Line-X can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Line-X install your Line-X spray-on, truck bed liner, and truck gear today. Line-X. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest state in the land of the free, raised in the woods so he knew every tree, killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, fought single-handed through the Indian War, till the Creeks was whipped and the peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, the man who don't know fear.
He went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. He took over Washington, so I hear tell, and patched up a crack in the Liberty Bell.
Davy, all right, we can fade that out during the chorus there. So, and Chris, you played that because Davy Crockett went to Congress, didn't you? And he did hunt and fish, no
Chris
question.
Is good. He can come up with the stuff that matches.
That's true.
Yeah, I must admit that that's exactly why I did it.
If
exactly.
not, he'll take credit for it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he did it.
That's why I did it. Okay. So, Steve, you had a few more comments.
Yeah, just we're talking about kind of the how I break the funding for
yes
HOM out. Three phases. Kind of first phase is to get Bill Miles paid for into lobbying
right.
efforts, campaign contributions to appropriate folks such as Senator Jack Bailey.
Right.
And after COVID, we had some really cool ideas. We had some pretty cool ideas pre-COVID, hosting some events.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Miles is kind of key to suggesting where, how, when, all that sort of stuff. And then COVID kind of shut things down. But,
sure.
but it takes money to fund those sort of things. And so that's kind of the three phases to where the dollars go to help fund all this stuff.
Sure.
Just to end my portion of this, we do have a website, huntersofmaryland.com.
Yep.
We have a up to date with information, brand new things that happened recently. Bill Miles' summary of the legislative session. There's an information sheet. There's a contact sheet on there too.
a form that could be filled out and electronically sent in, where myself or Bill Miles would get back to an individual if they have an interest in talking more about HOM and possibly participating and whatnot. So
sure.
It's all there at your fingertips on huntersofmaryland.com. We also do Facebook and some other things. So,
sure.
Very active social media.
Yes, you are. No question about that. So, and you, one of our guests a few weeks ago was Bob Lynch. And Bob is, in his world, he works with a lot of folks in the outdoors and other businesses when it comes to social media and websites and logo design and things like that. And we've all worked with Bob. And, when that happens, you can depend on the fact that you're going to get quality service, no question about it, and content. So, indeed. And, Bob designed the covers for the Bucks, Bears, and Stags record book, Maryland's Finest, which is still available online, by the way, folks. So,
yeah, Bob's a very talented guy.
No question.
TVcreative.com, I think, is his site. Bob is very active in supporting all the aspects of the hunting and fishing side of things.
Yes, he is.
Good guy too.
No question.
Terrible sense of humor, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, and his taste for food is just beyond the pale, but that's okay.
Exactly.
So, well, that covers the basics, the differences between the Hunters of Maryland, which, was something that I had hoped for from the beginning of the coalition, as far as, individuals to step up with some private funding and things like that. And don't get us wrong, we did have several large donors that helped with specific issues. Bill, if you'll remember some of our meetings that we had. But the bulk of the funding for the Maryland Hunting Coalition came from online raffles, fundraisers, banquets, and things like that. And we had some really, really good ones. As a matter of fact, last one we had was my particular favorite. And that established a lot of our funding from a lot of different individuals. So I don't, you're calling it private funded. I don't know if we call the Maryland Hunting Coalition publicly funded with, a lot more people kicking in, $20 and $50 and buying raffle tickets and things like that, where you've taken a whole different model and it seems to be working for you. And I agree with you, Steve. I mean, I run into people on a daily basis, just about a daily basis, that would be able to support Hunters of Maryland on an annual basis without even blinking an eye and write that check. So we understand how that goes, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. That was kind of my thought, and Bill might elaborate a little bit, but Jeff Crane, the president and CEO of CSF, which is kind of at the national stage, Jeff, Bill, and I were talking a while back, and Jeff really liked their concept. He is, I think I'm saying it correctly, that Jeff thought that no one else in the country at the state level had taken this approach before.
And, right.
So if we can keep it going and add another six or eight partners, we'll be in good shape.
Sure. No question.
Yep.
No question. So, Uncle Bill, you've been sitting
yes,
there
sir.
Listening quietly, maybe napping, I'm not sure, but you can...
Jumping at the bit.
Jumping at the bit.
No. Uncharacteristic for me to be silent.
that is true. We will go with that. But listening to Steve's introduction and Senator Bailey's comments and things like that, where would you like to start to notify our listeners as far as, the outcome of the General Assembly?
Mm. Well, we'll just keep in mind, as Jack said, he's the only hunter in the Senate. And when you probably count the number in the House, you could probably count out of the 188 lawmakers, you got 141 in the House and 47 in the Senate. You might have 10. You might count them all on two hands.
Yeah.
And then you have that urban mindset where you basically have the most populous jurisdictions, which you know, they speak for themselves, you know, they pretty much dominate the General Assembly. So you look at what happened this past session, and, you know, you're talking about a very far-left agenda that got enacted. And against that backdrop, you have the Hunters of Maryland advancing hunting policies that arguably are inconsistent with the majority of the legislature, well, I'd say all the legislature's viewpoint. So it's an uphill climb. And so when you're on the consumptive side of the policy table, you know, you're always struggling to convince them that what you're trying to do is in their best interest to vote for. And it's damn near impossible half the time. Because lawmakers don't want to see a bird shot, a fish caught, or a tree cut. So against that backdrop, you know, it's we're at a competitive disadvantage with many of the far-left agenda items, which really don't favor hunting per se.
Okay. So in that on that backdrop, on that of course, on that backdrop, yeah. I mean, you've always been the man in the arena as far as I'm concerned, beginning with your fight inspired by some folks who really would have liked to seen us be able to hunt different game animals on Sundays. And that's where, you know, you shone. In 2002, you got the General Assembly to pass a bill that allowed certain counties to have so many days, limited days of Sunday hunting. A very hard-fought battle, and the bill was vetoed by Glenn Denning, Governor Glenn Denning. And the following year, you come back again and shepherded that legislation through the General Assembly again, despite all odds and many, many enemies. And Governor Ehrlich, the General Assembly passed the bill again, and the governor then, Bob Ehrlich, was able to pass the, was able to sign that bill, and it became law. So, we want to focus right now, Bill, though, on one of your biggest fights this year, and that was the right to hunt and fish.
Correct. That issue, many people will probably say, well, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, what does it accomplish? Well, the best way to say it, it really accomplishes nothing, but yet it accomplishes everything, okay? Now, you know, Maryland's Constitution has a Declaration of Rights section, okay? But state law doesn't afford rights, okay? And when we went down there with, and you got to give Senator Brian Simon Air credit as well, because he introduced the bill last session, the 2020 session.
I remember that.
It got out of the Senate, and it died in the House because COVID shut things down 19 days prior to adjournment. Whether or not we would have got it, you know, that's anybody's guess, but probably unlikely given the heavy lift we had this session. So think about it. You know, Maryland is, you know, hunting and fishing, like driving, for example, are considered privileges. Privileges. We converted privileges for hunting and fishing against a legislative environment that was like, are you kidding me? And we figured because we, the anglers and hunters of Maryland, pay 100% of all fisheries and wildlife management, research, and habitat improvement. Okay? We argued that since we pay all the costs, and if those costs were transferred to the taxpayer through general fund support, it would cost tens of millions of dollars, and the state just wouldn't do it. So that was one of our arguments. Then we talked about, you know, the white marlin capital of the world is Ocean City. We talked about the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum, the decoy capital of the world. I even mentioned the Eastern Shore being the goose capital of the world, which probably is no longer the case. But nonetheless, those were arguments. And the Maryland, you know, we have the Maryland's portion of the bay, you know, breeds 90% of the East Coast population of rockfish. So, I mean, we've got all these things going in favor. So we figured, well, let's go down there and give it a shot. I mean, you can't always play defense. It's good to play offense. In fact, the best defense is a good offense. And I cannot tell you how difficult this bill was to get through. I wouldn't even, you don't have enough hours on a radio show for a year for me to explain to you what happened. But we got it through, and the bills didn't pass until the last day of the session. And everyone said the bill was dead, you'll never get it out. And it was just a Herculean effort, and credits goes to Senator Jack Bailey, Senator Katie Hester, the vice chair, Brian Simonair, the delegate Ned Kerry, especially in the House, and Wendell Beitzel. And we got it through. And I'm very proud of it. And so if anybody says, well, you know, it really doesn't mean anything, they need to sit back and think. To have a deep blue state like Maryland, given the background I just explained, to be able to have to look at hunting and fishing in Maryland as a right, not a constitutional right, but a statutory right, to me speaks volumes. Going forward, it's something for us all to be proud of and brag about, because only two states in America have right to hunt and fish by law. The others have constitutional requirements, but that's something we would have never gotten through. So we're very proud of that. It was a very, very heavy lift, and I wouldn't even want to begin to tell you how difficult it was.
Well, when you say a constitutional right that would never have gotten through, that is a ballot initiative. That has to be petitioned,
yes.
Put on the ballot. The ballot has to be, you know, voted in. You know, the citizens of Maryland have to vote favorably to amend the Constitution of Maryland. So what this is, as you said, is, you know, Herculean effort, but this is about as good as it can get in Maryland.
It's a right. Define a right. You can't need a constitutional or statutory. A right is a right.
Yep.
We have a right now to hunt and fish. And going forward, you know, it's bragging rights. It's bragging rights. I mean, again, a deep blue state like Maryland to I mean, all the what we did was we really fleshed out the opposition, the anti-hunting community, okay, and other stakeholder groups that were opposed to it, and they threw everything. During the hearings, nobody said anything. But then as they saw it, because they knew the bill wasn't going to move.
Right.
But then as it started to move, it was just, you know, the walls caved in, and lawmakers got nervous. And I had to do my best working with those lawmakers I just mentioned to keep everybody strong and focused. Against a background where the two committees were fighting over each other over environmental issues and whatnot, we actually got the chairs of the two committees who weren't on speaking terms to have a discussion. They both agreed to vote the bill the same day, and they both moved it in the same pattern, and no one could believe that happened. That's just how much we put into it.
Let's circle back to Steve's comment though on campaign contributions. This is going to cost hunters of Maryland down the road. You know, the day after session, you're invited to go to a barbecue or a breakfast or a fundraiser or a come to my, you know, cookout or whatever it might be, and they don't do that for the good of their constituents. You know, they do that so that people can find a way to interact with the lawmakers and be able to, you know, contribute to their campaigns. And you guys have to support that. And I've been to those things, and you've been to many, many, many more than I have, Bill. And, you know, it's just how it works.
It's just how it works. And, you know, you God love them. They all hate asking for money, but, you know, they do. And,
sure.
You know, you have to step up. You know, arguably people say it's a pay-to-play game, and I would really rather not say that.
No.
Publicly. But I mean, you know, you have to recognize what they're up against in trying to get reelected. So,
sure.
You know, if they help you, you have to help them. It's just how the game, it's how life is.
Yes. Well, you know, it's not just because you're lying in their pockets. They've got to pay for, you know, better advertising and better outreach than their opponent. That's all. And those things cost money. So,
if I can add something along those lines, and Bill vouched for this, that in this COVID year, it was really tough. Bill, rather than getting in people's faces, had to use cell phone and all that sort of stuff, and there were no events to get touchy-feely with something.
Exactly.
It was a tough year. It was a tough year.
No question.
Yeah. I tell you what, in Annapolis, this is my 44th year. It's my 44 sessions. you know, grad school working for the legislature for 17 years in the balance of the private sector. Annapolis is all about relationships, okay? It's about relationships. And if you don't have them, that's just the way life is.
Yeah.
You don't get what you want.
Well, you weren't even allowed to attend the hearings. You weren't allowed to walk the halls. You weren't allowed to, you know, visit the lawmakers in their offices like a normal year, you know. So.
It was awful. Absolutely awful. And I wasn't the only one that had, you know, everyone suffered through that. But it was absolutely awful. I even had a lot of lawmakers tell me how unconstitutional the session was because public input was so restricted.
Yeah. Well, you have friends who are lobbyists in the law enforcement community, and the law enforcement community got shelled this year. And part of it is because, you know, the folks that stand up for law enforcement, state police and others, were unable to go to see their lawmakers in their offices and plead their case, you know. And
words out of my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the agenda. I mean, you know, people are going to say, well, you know, it depends upon what, you know, what your political viewpoints are. But if you look at what some of the bills that passed, I mean, reasonable people are going to go, how in the heck did that happen? Well, lawmakers were pretty much isolated. I mean, so they did a lot, you know, they did things probably that had the process been a little bit more open, might not have passed in the way that they did. But, hey, lawmakers vote. We don't. Respect the process. Live with the outcome. Do your best to influence it. And that's how the game is played.
We're going to take our final break for this hour, fellas. Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater invites you to their new location at 3137 Solomon's Island Road on the northbound side near Advance Auto Parts in Edgewater. Call 410-956-0300. Bay Country Crabbing Supply has everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing and freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing tackle, too. And now Bay Country Crabbing Supply has a new hunting department with Hoyt and Prime and Matthews Bows and all the accessories and more on the way. Bay Country Crabbing Supply, live bait and ice, crabbing bait, stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines and trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, crab spice, and a full line of fishing tackle and gear. Bay Country Crabbing Supply's open house is April 24th. That's next Saturday, and Robin and I will be broadcasting from there both hours, 5 to 7 a.m. For more information, call 410-956-0300. Attention watermen, bring your license for your discount. BayCountryCrabbingSupply.com. Hey, do you have a beautiful, what you call, fireplace in your house that you never use? Well, Robin and I did too. It was just a hole in the wall that sucked the heat out of the room. We fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Now, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert. And you know what? They did the installation, and they provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. We're watching it right now. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, and feeling it, by the way, carries both Enviro and Regency brands, and now's the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove or barbecue grill from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44, and be ready for next winter. BackyardBilly's.com or the Hearth America Facebook page, call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, Exit 44 near Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. And we'll be right back after these messages.
We all want clean water. So does your community have a yucky sediment pond in the development and your homeowners association doesn't know what to do about it? Is your local golf course water hazard choking with weeds and sediment? Is your farm pond or waterfowl impoundment not friendly to fish and waterfowl anymore? What about your community pond owned by the town or county? Does your local marina have to deal with overgrown vegetation every year? If you said yes, here's the solution. Legacy Waters Environmental Services. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. They're gone. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations to come. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex! Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, go. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I forget.
when he says
jingle and they go WCBN and I'm like, I'm waiting for something.
I know.
All right.
I was out.
That's all right. We got about a minute left, fellas. Coming to the end of the first hour, which went by extremely fast. So there's much more to tell, and we hope you'll stay with us over the next hour. We got some people on the line that want to talk with you. And you fellas taking general calls about legislation from our listeners?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let me give that number out, 410-WCBM-680. Our call letters, when you turn them into numbers, become 410-922-6680. That is the call-in number. So get prepared to dial in if you'd like to talk to Steve Keithley and Bill Miles of Hunters of Maryland. Robin?
Everybody, get out, stay safe, enjoy Youth Turkey Day. And, yeah, I'm still here, even though you might not know it. Have a great day.